Welcome to the 20% True Podcast, Season 3, the Chicago Center for Supernatural Support, Episode 5, Craig. I'm Carolyn Rahaman. Craig checked his center voicemail sitting in the staff lounge with an egg salad sandwich in one hand and his phone in the other. It was lunchtime on his sporadic late shift at the hospital, meaning that it was a little after 2 in the morning. The first message was from a moss person with a rash. It sounded like a really common thing that would need a round of analgesic cream, but it might be an allergic reaction to one of the moss types covering their body. They just picked up moss and fungus spores from the air. So, then again, they might need some Claritin, or they might need to get some of the offending moss removed, which would involve a chisel. He'd have to take a look. The second message was from a nymph with the flu. Good job, nymph with the flu, calling his center voicemail. A patient had come in earlier in the evening who had refused to let the nurse take his vitals, because he turned out to be a drogger, with a heart rate of 14 and a blood pressure of 30 over 25. Perfectly normal for a drogger. But he would have been pumped full of fluid and norepinephrine if the nurse had been allowed to do her job. His nurse was still complaining, and Craig had had to lie about it on his paperwork. He did not like lying on his paperwork. The drogger had a virus involving a lot of snot and high color in his cheeks, which was lucky since it made him look like a human with a cold. The sickness would pass on its own, and Craig gave instructions to drink plenty of fluids, get lots of rest, and if he wasn't better in a couple of days, call him back at the center, not at the hospital. The center. Then there was one last message. Hi, Dr. Cohen. I hope you're the right person to talk to. The Center for Supernatural Support's answering machine told me to call this number. I'm one of the swan maidens at the Chicago Botanic Garden, and I've broken my wing. Or my arm. I was attacked by a fox. It hurts really bad, and I can't get to the Center for Supernatural Support because I'm a swan during the day. Your message said to leave a callback number, but I don't have one. I'm borrowing this phone from the clerk at the gas station. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have called. Then she hung up. It was too late to return the first two calls, so he added them to his to-do list. Then he ate the last few bites of his egg salad sandwich and made a few calls to find a swan vet. Avian vet was the phrase. Exotic animal hospital was the place. But before that, he had to find the swan. And before that, he had to finish his shift. And then he had to go make a trip to PetSmart, where he picked out a hard plastic dog carrier with a wire gate. The skin of his hands looked thin and pale under the fluorescent lighting. He squinted through the unnatural light, his eyes heavy and stinging in their sockets. "Do you think this is big enough to hold a swan?" he asked the salesperson. A kid probably still in high school whose teeth flashed with braces when he smiled. The smile dropped when he processed Craig's question. "I don't know. How big's the swan?" Craig looked at the carrier. He had no idea how big swans were. "Surely they fold up," he said. The kid stared at him. Craig bought the carrier. The Chicago Botanic Garden was misnamed, since it was not in Chicago, but in a north suburb that took forever to get to. His shoulders and lower back were aching by the time he paid for parking and began his search. He searched along brick-laid paths covered by trestles and shadow and the thick scent of roses. He searched a stretch of grass mall that led down to the water, where a geyser of a fountain gushed out of the lake. He searched along a wooden boardwalk that zigzagged over the water like a dock hemmed in on both sides by high railing. Surely the swans would be near a body of water, right? Turns out the whole botanic garden was a mess of lakes and islands, one of which was called Bird Island, which seemed promising, but was ultimately a bust. After an hour of circling the trails, lugging around his crate, from the lakeside garden he finally caught sight of a large white bird on the water. As he moved closer, he spotted a second and a third, and then got close enough to see that they really were swans. He left the path to approach the water, his shoes sinking into the mud under the tall grass. You weren't supposed to step off the trails. He cleared his throat and called to the swans. Excuse me! I'm Dr. Cohen from the center. I'm here to help the swan with the broken wing. At a sound behind him, he turned to find a little family on the trail above him. They stared at him, standing on the bank of the pond with a pet carrier shouting at swans. Hi, Craig said. They gaped. Don't worry, he said. I'm supposed to be here. They hurried their children along. Craig rubbed the bridge of his nose under his glasses, but pulled himself straight as the flock drifted toward him. They stopped a good 30 feet away, out of reach, floating on the water. He called again. Do any of you have a broken wing? The swans did not answer. They drifted back and forth, their paths braiding and twining like a slow-motion shell game. Craig shaded his eyes to try to spot a broken wing, but their wings were all folded tightly to their bodies, and he wondered if he'd be able to tell. The more he watched the birds, the more their motions almost made sense, almost clicked, like a song he couldn't quite make out, or a dance where he couldn't quite sense the beat even though he knew it was there. There was a precision to their movements, even if the structure was beyond him. If they were regular swans, he'd think he was making it up, finding patterns where there were none. Maybe it was his tiredness that made them seem otherworldly, magical. But these were magic swans. Probably. Ah, geez, what if he was yelling at normal swans? More were appearing all the time, flittering in and out and joining the dance. Craig tried to check them as they came in, but he could only see one side of a swan at a time, and once he stopped looking at one, he lost track of it, losing track of which swans he'd checked and eliminated, which ones he hadn't looked at all. That one had ruffled feathers. Could that be the one with the broken wing? Cold nipped at his ankles. He'd stepped into the water, drawn in by their dance, and the need for a closer look, hypnotized. He hissed and staggered out of the lake, shaking water from his shoes. His socks squished as he found solid ground. His pant legs were wet up to his calf. The anger and absurdity struck him like a physical blow. I'm a doctor! I don't know anything about swans, he shouted, tossing the carrier to the ground and rubbing his thumbs hard into his temples. I don't know anything about catching them or transporting them or healing them. I can't fix a swan wing. Why am I out here? Why am I the one to find and catch a swan and take it to the vet? Anyone could do this. Someone else should be doing this. Just because I know supernatural stuff exists does not make me an expert on anything. Allergic reactions to moss? What's considered normal vitals for a droger or a brownie or a vampire? Do you know how to tell a fairy they have an STD without using any of the words or making any of the gestures that offend them? Do you know how to tell someone they're a werewolf and need treatment and... No, really, I'm not joking. Please take me seriously because this is serious, but not too seriously because it's completely manageable. Do you? Because I don't. I'm not an expert. I'm just here. He plunked onto the grass on his butt, uncaring at this point that his pants would get wet and muddy. I don't know a quarter of what I ought to know to help, but I do know you exist, and that makes me 1,000 times more qualified than anybody else. I'm just trying to help here, he called. I don't know what I'm doing, but I can take you to someone who can. The swan swirled faster. There shouldn't be this many swans in one place. Look, you called me. I drove all the way up here. I haven't slept. He realized that was a stupid thing to say, as swan maidens never slept. But instead of turning away, instead of turning on him, the swans parted, like a curtain being pulled back. Then the flock stilled, paused for a breath, and a single swan glided forward, the rippling water in her wake pulsing as if she were taking delicate ballet steps. One wing was spread limp at her side, resting atop the water. It looked smaller than it should. Like maybe it was just the bottom layer of wing. Like maybe some of the long primary feathers were just bent out at an odd angle. Craig scrambled to his feet, and the swan stopped before him, within reach. He didn't move. The creature held her head at such a regal angle, her eyes pinning him like a queen, her white feathers laying perfectly coiffed except for the one side where everything went wrong. There was pain there, a pain he could feel in the back of his teeth. He could see the shudder under her feathers, even as she held her head high. He could see the tightening around her eyes. Those eyes that held him in place, they threatened and dominated and put him in his place. He had the sudden urge to bow. Instead, he hurried to the gate on the carrier, holding it open and gesturing her inside. She walked proudly, less graceful as she left the water and waddled onto the grass, but her head remained high until the last moment when she bowed and stepped into the carrier, dragging her wing behind her. He made sure she was tucked inside, no feathers peeking out, no feet getting pinched in the gate. Then he bolted the door and lifted her. She was heavier than he expected. The carrier itself wasn't light. The flock had moved while he was getting the injured bird settled. They'd waddled onto land, and he looked up just in time to see the circle close around him. He was surrounded by too many swans. A few puffed out their chests, sitting back and stretching. Too tall, too big. Serrated teeth flashed inside slick black beaks. Wings flared, flapped, herding him away, and he staggered back towards the trail. But he was surrounded, so he stumbled toward more swans that honked at him to keep his distance, their voices overlapping, crashing against him. He had visions of the birds swarming over him, biting and pecking and whiting out the sky as they brought him to the ground, of his vision blurring, of suffocating under the weight of a million feathers. He clutched the carrier to his chest as if it could protect him. "I'll bring her back before dark. You have my word." The ring of swans around him shifted, giving him space but not dispersing. They walk like that, with swans pecking at his heels if he got too close, honking if he jostled the carrier too much, like a belligerent escort. Visitors stopped to stare at their approach, then hurried out of the way as the swans cleared a path, flapping their wings and hissing until the visitors moved. A woman in a green windbreaker came out of the main building as they approached the parking lot. She looked like she worked there. Craig hunched his shoulders, making himself shorter, hoping she might not notice him through the crowd of white feathers. "Hey, what are you doing? What do you have in that carrier? Are you stealing a swan?" In a flurry of squawks and the whipping sound of beating wings, the flock shifted, flowing away from Craig and toward the poor Botanic Garden employee who shrieked. The path before him clear, Craig ran. He didn't look back, but over his shoulder he shouted, "It's all right! I'm a doctor!" The 20% True podcast is written and produced by me, Carolyn Rahaman. Music composed by Kamiku. If you like the show, please rate and review on iTunes. It helps new people find it. Follow the podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/20percenttrue, where you can leave comments and ask questions. Check out my website, 20percenttrue.blogspot.com, for updates, thoughts on writing, and book reviews. Or follow me on Twitter at @CarrieAndTheHicks. Thank you.